Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
Yeah, welcome back in.
Hey, it's Daily Ticker time.
It is Daily Ticker time.
You know who it's brought to you by?
Barbecue brisket.
Which would pair delightfully with a delicious, cold, refreshing Pelican Brewing Company beer brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company with the return of warmer weather. Did you know Pelican Brewing brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles? It's refreshment that you can see. So we're going to do to some barbecue brisket sandwiches here in a moment. Sorry, I'm running a little late. I just got them ready to go.
It's okay. We're ready
Smells delightful. And yeah. Let's talk a little NFL draft with our good buddy, our good friend, Andrew Nimick, who we just had on when you were out a couple weeks ago. And I only asked him one or two draft questions.
He's a draft nut, man.
He is an absolute. Nobody follows the draft closer at the fan than Andrew Nimick.
No.
Not anywhere close. At Andrew Nimick on Twitter. You can hear him every Thursday right here on the fan tonight, 7 to 8 p.m., doing recruiting with Andrew Nimick. Nimick, good morning to you. This might be like a weird draft question because maybe you nerd out on it every year. Where does this year's draft, in terms of excitement and build-up, rank for maybe the last couple of years for where you've been at?
It is my least favorite draft of my adult life, I think.
Wow.
I'm not a quarterback guy. Like, I'm not driven by purely, there are four great quarterbacks. This is a great draft then. I just don't like this crop of players. I think this draft only goes about four deep in terms of guys you really can put that blue chip label on. And once you get to when you get to the Patriots, and if you say Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, and Cam Ward off the board, and who do you pick at four? There's honestly a pool of like 24 players that all kind of fit in that next grade from Will Campbell. And you're going, okay, the arm length's not great. The reach isn't that great. In fact, I think his wingspan would be the smallest ever for a left tackle in the NFL. So there's, and it doesn't mean he's bad. It's just a red flag. And you go all the way to like Tet McMillan and what's his 40 and why is he great at the point of the catch up in the air? Matt Golden, the wide receiver, runs a 4.29, and then everybody watches his film, and you watch his film, and you go, okay, he runs about 4.45 fast. You know, I just don't. Kelvin Banks, I've seen go as high as 5 in mock drafts. I've seen him as low as 25. I don't know if you can, but if I'm 4 through 20, I'm looking to trade down 5, 6, 7 spots, pick up an extra third-round pick or something, because that pool's all the same. And when they're all the same grade, it's not very much fun.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see in the next couple of years how good the draft kind of ends up being, I guess, from top down. But I think what your point is kind of why I'm weirdly into this. Not that these prospects are the most amazing talented prospects. In reading about them and hearing people's thoughts, it's fascinating to hear all these negatives of all these players. But we know Cam's going one. If we are to assume Travis Hunter's going two...
Cha-ching.
Okay, and then if we go Abdul Carter 3, but like, are the Giants going to not draft a quarterback? Are the Browns really going to draft a cornerback? Like, I like Travis Hunter. I think Travis Hunter is going to be a good NFL player. But number 2 overall and claiming that he's going to play both sides the same way he did in college, 1, that's not going to happen. 2, a cornerback? At number 2, you don't have a quarterback. Your quarterback has his Achilles torn. He's a trash bag. He says he's going to be better, but that's in another year. Like, they need a quarterback. I one of the easiest bets for me is over 2.5 quarterbacks taken in the first round because too many teams value that position and the cheapness of it. So I think you're going to get more than 2.5 quarterbacks in the first round.
I mean, let's play it out, though. Like, would you rather have Travis Hunter and then in the early second a Jackson Dart, or you trade back in and get Jackson Dart, or even, you know, you take a flyer on a Tyler Shuck, and if he, you know, in the third or whatever, and if he's not good and you're not going to be good, you probably have a high pick for next year, or do you want to hitch your wagon to Shedeur Sanders and then you use that, you know, that early second on a Jack Besh from TCU? Which combo's better? And if I'm an NFL team, and I'm no huge fan of Travis Hunter. Let's just say player number, whoever they deem as first non-quarterback, the number one non-quarterback on their board.
Right.
Say it's Abdul Carter. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, now I get Abdul Carter and Jackson Dart. Would I rather have that or Shedeur Sanders and an edge, you know, in the Landon Jackson out of Arkansas? I mean, right. That build makes sense, because here's the thing. You're probably getting one of those, and we talked about this. It was the first question you guys asked me. There's probably only four guys who you could really say, these are true blues, true blue chip players, true, probably going to be top 10 players in the NFL at their position. So only a handful of them. If you can get one in this draft, to be honest, I don't think the gap between Shedeur Sanders and QB4 is very significant. And I don't know if you want to give up the draft capital and you take a guy at two, you're hitching your franchise to that guy for 3 years. You can't just bail on him after 1 year because, oh crap, we sucked again. And now we have the number one pick and it's Arch Manning.
I guess
Arch Manning sitting there.
Yeah.
You're in on Shedeur. So go get the true blue, take a flyer. If the quarterback pans out, great. If he doesn't, well, guess what? That means you suck. And you get one next year in a quarterback-loaded draft.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think it's
I'm
all
with
very,
100% on this. 100%.
Yeah, you and I, we've talked about this. Like, what if you're the Titans, what do you do? And we had a guy from Tennessee who was like, I want them to trade because they need a lot of stuff. And I'm like, I know Cam Ward isn't everybody's favorite, but he's kind of coming in with the same sort of resume as Jaden Daniels. Now, Jaden Daniels had an exceptional season. We didn't see, NFC title game coming. But what I'm saying is Jaden kind of went in with a similar resume. Transfer guy, you know, busted through at LSU, won the Heisman Trophy. Cam Ward didn't win the Heisman Trophy. But, man, his numbers at Miami were remarkable. They didn't have that season or lose those games because of Cam Ward, per se. He saved him in a lot of games, and without him, how many wins does Mario? I think I'm at a point in the NFL, if you're giving me like a New England situation where I have a very young quarterback and maybe I have established things, I'm willing to kick ideas around. But I think for the most part, like with a first pick, if I have no quarterback and I have all this other stuff that I need to, I think I'm just always going to lean quarterback, edge rusher, offensive line, and that's kind of all I want to draft in the first round if I'm a team, unless of course my situation's really good.
Well, I think you're talking value here, and I'll add this in for you as well. Defensive tackle. We've seen the defensive tackle.
Yeah, edge rushers, defensive tackles.
So yeah. You can get an elite defensive lineman on a rookie contract, and he's good. Like the Rams, Jared Verse, they're going to have to pay when he's no longer on his rookie contract.
Right.
They're going to have to pay him a ton of money. Mm-hmm. So to have a Pro Bowl, a borderline Pro Bowl defensive end on a rookie contract for multiple years is worth a ton to your team. And so, yeah, I get what you're saying there. I guess for me, in this draft, I would take a swing at an edge because I think there's upside edges. I would take a swing at a defensive tackle. I would take Kelvin Banks if he's sitting there outside the top 10 because I think he's a good player. And I don't really get why in this draft of huge question marks, he seems to be falling in people's mock drafts. I would take a swing on a guy who, if I get him and he pans out, I might be saving $20 million a year on a rookie contract versus going and getting that player in the free agent market, especially compared to other positions in this draft. Like there's a lot of depth at running back. I just wouldn't go there this year. I think I can get a third or fourth round running back that's pretty dang good. Like Jordan James, I think, is a good running back. He was better than Bucky Irving 2 years ago. And people are talking about him as a day three guy. That shows you how deep this class is. I just wouldn't take that swing. Wide receiver, no one in this draft, not a single player in this draft. And you'll hear, you know, everybody talk about this. Daniel Jeremiah's talked about this. Bucky Brooks has talked about it. The guys at the NFL Stock Exchange podcast, which is an awesome podcast, have talked about it. Not one player projects as a wide receiver one at the next level. At best, they're wide receiver twos. The very highest upside is like a Devonta Smith. And that's just, again, not very appealing. I'd take the swing at a value position, at a money position.
I'll ask you this, too. You mentioned Oregon and some of their guys. James, I'm with you on it. I think it's a sign of how deep that class is. There are two guys that look like they could go or likely to go maybe in the first round, and Connerly and Harmon. I'm just curious how you feel about their fit and the value there, because there are a handful of tackles that are in the mix to go early. You mentioned Banks. I know he's more of a guard maybe. And then Harmon at D tackle. I'm just curious how you think their fit is in the NFL.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Mike Tice, former Vikings coach, has a son now, Nate Tice, who does a ton of draft analysis, and he has his own podcast and the whole deal. He had his dad on his show, and he had Connerly as the number one offensive lineman in the class. There are folks who believe that Connerly, especially the second half of this year, really turned it up. And the issue with him was his play strength. Is he strong enough on the edge? Well, he's very young, so he still has a chance to grow in strength. And then you'll hear people say he doesn't anchor super well. He's not incredibly strong. He's a great athlete. Mid-second. that tells you where things are at. I've heard, you know, Nate Tice mock Josh Connerly in the top 10. Hmm. I've also seen him go in the second round. Again, speaking to that pick your flavor outside the top four. And then Derek Harmon, you know, in a draft where Walter Nolan has questionable effort at times. He was the number one recruit in the nation years ago. He didn't really play well until his very last year. You've got Mike Green, the edge rusher out of Marshall, who has two different sexual assault allegations. You've got James Pierce, an edge rusher out of Tennessee, who people say has the worst character profile in the entire draft. thank God he exists. Otherwise, it'd be Isaiah Bond.
Yeah.
In a draft like that, it's interesting. You know, Kenneth Grant is great run stuffer, not great against the pass. In a draft like this, Derek Harmon sure does a lot of things well.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a good football player. He stops the run. He's able to push the pocket and disrupt things, as a pass rusher. I think as this draft goes on, or as we go into the final weeks, I think we're going to see Derek Harmon climb. And I think his ceiling's probably 11 to the 49ers. But I think Derek Harmon is going to go in that 11 to 22 range. And I do think whoever gets him is getting a good player.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's ever going to be a superstar, but I don't know how many people outside the top three or four are going to be superstars. And if I'm a GM and I just need to shore things up along the defensive line, again, I don't know if he's going to ever be a superstar, but you'd be hard pressed to say, man, Derek Harmon just didn't work out at all in the NFL. I just think he's going to. I think he's going to be at least good, and he's got a chance to be really good.
Yeah, one of those high floor guys.
Yeah.
What do you got coming up on the show tonight?
Draft stuff, man. Yeah. I'd love to say we're going to do a ton of recruiting, and we will. We'll talk some recruiting, but this time of year, it's really hard to get me off the draft topic at
NFL
home.
Recruiting.
My wife, my poor child, who's 6 years old, is like watching me watch tape of various.
Enough
players.
Of like, these tapes, Dad. I'm tired of this Jackson Dart guy, Dad.
Yeah, she said she's six, and she's like, it's not football season. You know, she said that like yesterday.
It's always football season.
Oh, boy.
I love it. Great stuff. He's going to be on tonight talking more about the draft. Nobody follows it closer here at The Fan. The Nimmick, you can go give him a follow on Twitter, at Andrew Nimmick. Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick will be on tonight, 7 to 8 p.m. as soon as primetime is over. Thanks for the time, buddy. Let's do this again as we get closer here 2 weeks away from the NFL draft.
Definitely. Can I give you one sleeper?
Yeah, go for it.
So C.J. West is a defensive tackle out of Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped the run. The first point of contact on running plays up the middle was about a half a yard shorter than every other team in the country, and it's because of him. he's that good at stopping the run. He is going to be an absolute steal, and unfortunately for a long time, early in the draft, he was like a day three guy. Now they're talking about him as a second-round pick. But C.J. West is going to immediately fix the run game for somebody. And so you're going to see situations where people are like, why aren't we addressing, you know, interior defensive line? We need interior defensive linemen. Someone's going to take C.J. West, and he's immediately going to improve their team. C.J. West's a really good football player.
There, look at that little nugget to end it. I love it. All right, we'll talk soon, Nimick.
Bye.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.